bit of Lishma. The second is, as Xer Shava Lola Meisha. Xer Shava is, it says by Shivcha Harufa, the Chumash Achuf Shalon Nitan La. Half the line of Dasa, Achuf Shalon Nitan La. Half the line of Dasa means she was not Niftis Bekesef, and Abeknaina is Yotzelech Eres Ida, Oide Kesef, or Oide Shtar. So it's based on the Pasuk, Achuf Shalon, Half the line of Dasa. She was never freed by the Adon with Kesef. Pidyon is usually the Kesef. Chub Shalon Nitan Lo means Bishtar Lola Meisha. So just like a Getisha needs Ksiva Lishma, so Shtar Shichar Abaknani also needs Ksiva Lishma. That Gzereshova Lola Meisha is not only to teach me the din that a Shtar Shichar Abaknani needs Ksiva Lishma. It teaches me the din that a Rebbe Knaini is only chayv and mitzvahs keisha. Just like a woman is only chayv and mitzvahs loises and mitzvahs shaloyas mangroma. Mitzvahs is mangroma, the women are potter. So an Rebbe Knaini is potter also from mitzvahs as mangroma. That's a big problem. How can you see that through the Gzereshova? That pasuk Chuv Shalonditon is talking about a female. Shivcha Knaini is not talking about a male. So how do you know that a male Rebbe Knaini is also a potter? So this kasha is dealt with by the Tosfos Rid on Chagiga. He deals with that kasha, and he doesn't really give a good answer. And Rav David Carlina didn't have a Tosfos Rid, so he also deals with it in his sefer. He wrote Chibra on the Rambam, Likutei Halachos on the Rambam. So that's a problem, but that's a big Zereshav Alola Meisha. So the original shtar that needs ksiva lishma is a getisha, because of Allah said, because the word law, and then shtar shichar abeknaini needs ksiva lishma. Then the Gemara in Kiddushin in the first perek has this, Rava had a suffix where the shtar Kiddushin needs ksiva lishma. You can be mekadosh an isha either bekesef or b'shtar rov b'biyah, min ha-Torah, min ha-Rabbanan, they prohibited kiddushei biyah. And you're left with kesef or shtar. And the minig is, the Rambam says, the minig is, but what if you be mekadosh b'shtar? So Rabbi had a suffix where the shtar kiddushin needs ksiv l'shma, and basa de bayah, the pashta, after he thought about it for a while, he was poshet, because makash havai li yitzir. So the nidin that a shtar needs ksiv l'shma is applicable to a shtar kiddushin also. What do they all have in common? These are the three stars that affect the change in Issa the Heter. All other shtaras are only relevant in Dini Mamad, so there's no need for Lishma. So here the Mishnah has, on Chavov and Min Aleph, we reviewed the Mishnah last week. Some of the Dinim in the Mishnah are Deraisa, some of the Dinim are Derabbanan. So the Dinim are Derabbanan. So it says, Shenemar, the last line in the Mishnah says, Shenemar, because of law Lishma, he's quoting a pasuk to teach a Din Derabbanan. Shenemar only makes sense on a din deraisa. So the Gemara asked that kasha, the last two lines on Chavov and Menalev on the Amud, Kiksiv law, because of law, Shenemar, because of a law, Lishma. The word law goes on the Torah, it doesn't go on the Taifas, it doesn't go on Shtori Moment. After the Gemara, no. You have to correct the Girs in the Mishnah, not Shenemar, I should say Mishum Shenemar. What's Mishum Shenemar? So Mishum Shenem is a technical term based on the Pasuk, there's a din deraisa, and the Chachamim extended it, they made a din derabbanan. You have another Gemara also, in Psochim, the Gemara has, Chomin Sho'ova, all of HaPesach is Osa B'Hanoah, so it says in the Mishnah, Shenemar, Le'irola Chachamitz. How do you see from Le'irola Chachamitz that Chomin Sho'ova HaPesach is Osa B'Hanoah, Tzamachloikis HaTanoim? A beauty Reb Shimon, where the Chomet Sho'over or La Pesach is a din deraisa, a din derabbanan. We pass on like Reb Shimon, it's only a din derabbanan. It's a penalty for it. Only if a Jew, according to Reb Yudah, Chomet Sho'over La Pesach is also banu, a din deraisa. You can't buy chomets, it doesn't help if he sell the chomets to the goy. After Pesach, all the chomets in the world, on Pesach, all the chomets in the world becomes also banu, and remains also banu. Doesn't help if he sell the chametz to the goy. Doesn't help if you go to a goyish bodega here in the neighborhood after Pesach and you buy beer. All chametz in the world is also mano. Obviously, we don't follow Reb Yudah's opinion. We follow Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds the chametz shabbat la Pesach is a penalty midirabbanan because you violated bal yirod by matzah. So the Mishnah says chametz shabbat la Pesach is also shenemar lo yivalach al chametz. How do you see from lo yivalach al chametz? You don't see anything. Gemara says no. The correct use should be mishum shenemar, because it says lo yirah, and the fellow violated by yirah, so we penalize him. We make it also bano. Other gemaras also in Sanhedrin, a different gemaras where the gemara makes a point of it. Shenemar means it's a din deraisa. Mishum shenemar means it's based on a din deraisa. They extended it in. They made it din derabbanan. So that we covered already, that Gemara. Then the Gemara on its base has a situation. So get la arusasi. So we spoke about this. During the war, they wouldn't let Jews into America. During the Second World War, that was a quota. They didn't let Jews into America unless you had a Jewish person was married to an American citizen. So because they were married, they could come in. So they had a lot of Jewish women would save the lives of Jewish men. They would marry them, and then when they came to America, then they would give them a get. So some of them were afraid they're not going to give a get. They'll be stuck. They'll be in Aguna. So let's say if I write a get in advance, I give the girl a get and I say, I'm not married to her. She wants to save my life. So if she marries me, legally we're married, so they'll let me come into America. So if I write a get before I marry her and I say, the get should take effect a week after I arrive in America. Is that valid or not? I'm not even married to her. Can you write a get, lishma, before you're even married to the woman? So that's a machlekes, Reb Meir and the Chachamim. Can you make a kinyan on a davish labali yodam? Let's say I'm negotiating to buy the Brooklyn Bridge, and the politicians of Brooklyn are friendly with me, and maybe they'll sell me the Brooklyn Bridge. What do I need it for? I don't want the Brooklyn Bridge. I sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. I say if I ever acquire ownership of the Brooklyn Bridge, I sell it to you. The kinyan should take effect after I acquire ownership. So I'm selling you a davar shelav bal yodam. It's bottle. The Brooklyn Bridge exists, but it doesn't belong to me now. So that has the same thing as davar shelav bal yodam. So that's machlek, so Reb Meir and the Chacham. Reb Meir says, why not? You're making, let's say, I'm dating a girl, we're both going to college and we have to pass. So I give the girl the ring and say, Harriet Mukadesh Esli, the day after the last final is over, the day after we graduate college. So you can do that. You could have married the girl today. So if you give her a ring, say, Harriet Mukadesh Esli, Lacha Lamed Yom, Lacha Shana, Lacha Shtei Shanim. You can make Kiddushin, Lacha Lamed Yom. Let's say a man is married and he gives his wife a get. He doesn't want to divorce his wife now. They have to marry off their children. So Harriet Zekitach, the get should take effect the week after the last Sheva Brachas of the youngest child. They don't want to get divorced before they marry off their children, because it will be difficult to get a good Shidduch. So they say, Haret Mugudeshes, Mugureshes, Mimani. So since he could have given a get now, the get would have been Chal today. So he gives her a get today, and he says, I want the get to be Chal in another 5 years. That's valid. But what if he gives a, I give a ring to a girl who's in the process of converting. She didn't convert yet. You can't be Mekadosh and Nochris now. He said, Rebbe Mekadosh and Selilach HaShet Tiz Gairi. Or I didn't convert yet. I give a girl a ring, a Jewish girl a ring. Rebbe Mekadosh and Selilach HaShet Tiz Gairi. So that's considered a Dovah Shalab Olam. So Meir says, what's the problem? Like, I can make a Kiddush and Lach HaLamad Yom. You give a get Lach HaLamad Yom. You can make a, I can sell you my house. I plan to move to Eretz Israel, let's say. So September 1st, I'm not going to need the house. I'll already be in Eretz. So I sell you the house today, and I say the kinyan should take effect on September 1st. So that's legitimate. So there it says, you make a kinyan on a dovish l'bal yodam, and the kinyan should take effect when a little bit b'al yodam is good. And we paskan that it's no good. So if I give a get to a girl whom I didn't even marry yet, then it's not covered. I give a get to a girl, I have an erisin with the girl. Today we have erisin, we do nisuin right away. We just read the ksuba in between, and then we say the Sheva Brachas under the chuppah. That's the second part of the marriage ceremony. First you do erisin, you give the ring. Then you do the nisuin. In the days of Tanakh and the days of the Gemara, there was a long pause in between the erisin and the nisuin. So erisin, the woman is a full eishes ish. Today in modern Hebrew, erisin means you're engaged. But in biblical Hebrew, the word erisa means kedusha. The woman is a fallacious ish. So if the fellow tells the sefer, write a get, so get la urisasi, write a get for the girl whom I'm married to, sometime in the future, I may want to divorce her after nisut. So that's good. I could give it a get now during erisin if I want. So that's good. But if you write a get, you authorize the sefer to write the get before you even did erisin. You just engaged. That's called the dovish la baliyana. So according to Reb Meir, it would be good. But we don't pass like Reb Meir. You cannot make a kinyan on the dovish la baliyana. So that's what the Gemara says. So get la recessi. The husband authorizes Sefer to write a get for his arusa. And Rashi explains that Keshech Nasena Agar Shen, after I did Nisuin, then it's a good get. Then it's a good, that's Dovah Shabbalim. He's already married with the girl. So he could have given it a get now. Shabbos, what if I have an apartment building and I rented out an apartment to a fellow? He has a 2-year lease. In the middle of the 2 years, but at the end of the 2 years, I'm going to have to look for another tenant. So in the middle of the 2 years, I want to rent the apartment to a different person starting from the end of the 2 years. So that says in Shulchan Aruch that that is acceptable. That's not called a Dovah Shel Bolyom. That's a question, why not? But he can't rent out the apartment now to another person as of today. He already rented it out to the first person. But basically, he owns the apartment. It's his. So how do you word it? How do you word the din? That's not called the Dovah Shel Bolyom, but basically he owns the apartment. He rented it out just for a few years. So that's, you have to figure out how to word it. Mexican Shikra we discussed. The last din on the Omud we didn't discuss. On the bottom of Chavav and the base, the last three lines. Amar Rav Yechanan, but what happened? I borrowed $1,000 in business. I need cash right now. So at 9 o'clock in the morning, I want to borrow $1,000, and the fellow will only lend me the money if I give him a shtar. So I write a shtar. This is to ascertain. We, the undersigned, know that the Sheikh had borrowed $1,000 from Schneider, and I give him the shtar. Then 2 hours later, I already made a business. I already made profit. I pay him back the $1,000. Then later on in the day, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I want to borrow another $1,000 from him. So that's what Rabbi Yechanan says, Shtar Shalova Bo, I borrowed $1,000 in the morning, and it has today's date. Uporo, and I paid back the money a few hours later. Then a few hours later, it's still the same day. I want to borrow another $1,000. Ein Echoizav Eloive Boi, I cannot use that shtar to borrow again $1,000. Why not? So the Gemara says he doesn't say because Mechzik is Shikra, because the shtar was written for the first halva, it wasn't written for the second. He's not concerned about Mechzik is Shikra. The Gemara says Mechzik is Shikra loy chashina. We're not worried about it. There were the two girsas. The bottom ties had the two girsas. Well, leisa lirapapi. Maybe by shtar ma'aseh bes, and you are concerned about Mechzik is Shikra. But this is. There's a private shtar, there's a yochid that's writing a shtar. It's not a shtar ma'aseh bes. So why is it no good? He says it's no good be'ikar adin, it's no good ben atara. Why? Because nimchal shibudo. What's wrong if nimchal shibudo? So the poshut pshat is a shtar that told one story cannot be diverted to tell another story. Perhaps that's the simple pshat in the Gemara. But that's not correct. The din is not true. The Gemara has in the end of Bavar Basra, what if I sold you a field and I write a shtar? Let's say I sold you my apartment. I own my apartment. So I write, my apartment at 24 Bennett, apartment 26A, now belongs to you. I sold it, I give it to you, Maton. So you have a shtar. And then, at some later date, you want to sell me back the apartment. I want to buy back the apartment from you. So the Gemara says, do you say, Osius Niknas b'mesira? Can you give me that shtar, the shtar mechira that I gave you? Maybe all you have to do is give it back to me, and that constitutes a kinyan shtar. Even though the statement is just the opposite. It says that Shechter is selling to Schneider the apartment. Shechter is giving Schneider a matana, and now Schneider is giving Shechter back the apartment. So even though the whole text is totally different, and the whole Kenyan is the opposite from what it says in the Shtar, so the Gemara says it. There was a Machlokes, Rav Meir and Rav Lozer, the Machlokes that comes up every Templat and Gittin, whether Oseis Niknas ben Mesira, Oseis Niknas, the Machlokes whether Edi Chasim Karsi or Edi Mesira Karsi. So the Gemara says, depending on that, it would determine if I gave you the karkam and matana, then you want to give it back to me. So if you say oisias niknas, if you say eri chasima karsi, so the Haggadah say this, that originally what it says in the shtar, two witnesses signed on the bottom that Schechter gave a matana, the karka, to Schneider. So if Schneider gives it back to Schechter later on, the same shtar, the whole story is backwards. So the Gemara says, according to Rav Meir, that would be good. According to Rav Meir, that would be good. But it's a totally different story. So you see that's not a problem. If you all like that shita, Osius Niknas, it's a machlokes hatanai, Osius Niknas ben Mesira, you can sell me back the karka with the shtar that says the opposite in it. Because I say it, the shtar told that story. Because when you were holding the shtar, it said the story, Shechter gave the karka to Schneider. Then when you give it back to me, I have the Tfisas Bala Shtar now, and the Shtar tells the rest of the story, that Schneider gave it back to Shechter. So the Pshat Nimchal Shibuda is not because the Shtar can only tell one story, he can't tell a different story. No, there's an opinion that Oisius Niknas Ben Mesir. We don't paskan like that. It's a machlokes in the Gemara and Bava Basra, how we paskan. Two girsas in the Gemara. So most of the Rishonim have the girsa that we don't accept that opinion. But according to that opinion, how does Rabbi Yechanan make his taking kar nimchal shibuda? So it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. Nimchal shibuda means there was a, let's say, I borrowed $1,000 9 o'clock in the morning and I gave you a shtar. Then 11 o'clock, I already made my profit on it and I want to pay you back the money. I want to pay you back, so I pay you back the $1,000 and you give me back the shtar. Then 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there's another business deal and I want to borrow another $1,000. So the shtar was dead from 1 o'clock in the afternoon till four. I wasn't saying any Haggadah Seidus. A shtar can't tell a second story. But if the shtar was giving a Haggadah Seidus from 9 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it gave Haggadah Seidus that I owe you $1,000. And then I paid you back the money and you gave me back the shtar. So the shtar stopped giving Haggadah Seidus. It dropped dead. Then I want to borrow another $1,000. So that's the din nimchal shibudo. Once the Haggadah Seidus ended, you can't make a tchias hamesem on the shtar, that it should continue to give another Haggadah Seidus. But that a shtar can give another Haggadah, if it didn't die in between, it can. It can switch the Haggadah. For 5 years, I sold you the house, and it belonged to you for 5 years. Then you want to give me back ownership of the house. You give me back the shtar. So the Gemara said, that's legitimate. If you hold Eidim Chasim Akarsi, the Eidim gave Haggadah Seidus the whole time that the Karka belongs to you. Then when you give me back the shtar, the Haggadah Seidus continues with the Hemshech. There was a time that I gave the house to you, and now you gave it back to me. But if it stopped giving Haggadah Seidus for an hour or two, so then you say, Nimchal Shibud, and they can't make a Tchias HaMesem on the shtar. It's an interesting halacha. Okay, the next daf, Chav Zayin Amanal, talks a lot about Hashavas Aveda. How do you accomplish Hashavas Aveda? So usually with Simonim. A person, I found a sweater. I found an attaché case, whatever. So I put up a sign, who lost an attaché case? So someone comes and he tells me. So I said, what color was it? So he said, black. Most of them are black, maybe he was guessing. So he tells me the make, what brand it is. Then he tells me some simonim. So the Magen Mishnah points out that there are three levels of simonim. The simonim grew him. Then the simonim beinanim, then the simonim muvakim. So simon muvak is certainly a good way to identify an aveda. Seven Movik is good, Bena Torah, that's definitely good. That's good by Meis Baila. Let's say a woman is married and the husband disappears. We don't know if he's alive or dead. We don't know where he is. Then we find a male dead body. And it has, let's say the husband had six fingers on the right hand. So how many people have six fingers on the right hand? They found a dead body with six fingers. So just, you found a dead body, and it's a male body. So there are a lot of men in the world. And the male body had a bris milah. So a lot of Jewish people in the world, just because a male body with a bris milah does mean that it's her husband. But how many people have six fingers on the right hand? That's Echad Mini Elef. The Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer gives the definition. Echad Mini Elef. It was one out of 1,000 men have this simon. Or he has, let's say, he has three eyes instead of two eyes or something. Very unusual. Echad Mini Elef, that's a good simon to be Matam and Aguna, and that's certainly a good simon to give back al Shavas Aveidim. If he just tells me what color the attaché case was, I put up the sign, I found an attaché case, he says he lost it and it's black. Maybe he's guessing. So whenever it's a simon garua, that's not called a simon. Here the Gemara has on the last line a Chav Zayin on the base. Gemara talks about he lost the get. Shliach lahilocha. He lost the get, and then they find the get, and he says it was on a long piece of paper, twice as long as a normal sheet of paper that you write on. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ein me'idim al seimani haguf." If he says oruch ve'gutz, it was long or it was short. Gutz is short. And Aruch is long. Long and short, that's like the woman is married and her husband is missing. So she said, and we find a dead body, a male dead body, and she says, my husband was tall and thin. A quarter of the people, half of the people in the world are tall, half of the people are short. Half of the people are fat, half of the people are skinny. So she says, my husband was tall and thin. So that's 25% of the men in the world are tall and thin. Said, my husband was tall and fat. Quarter of people in the world are tall and fat. Short and thin, short and fat. That's a simen garua. That's a simen garua. So that's what Rashi writes on the last two lines on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. If the one who, the shliach lahilocha, lost the get, and someone found it, so he says, tell me, identify the get. He doesn't know the names of the people. He's just delivering a get. When he gets to the other city, they're going to tell him who to give it to. He doesn't know the name that it says on the get. He just knows it was a long piece of paper, short piece of paper. The Gemara says, such a simen, beguf adover, a simen on the get, orach vegutz, long or short. So that's not called a simen, Rashi writes. Ein elu klum, second line from the bottom of the Rashi, and Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Ein elu klum, why that simen garua? Sheesh ke la harbe. All the papers are either long or short. So that's like saying the attaché case that I lost was black. Most of them are black, so it's not a good simen at all. So if you have a simen garua, that's not a good simen, not for Hashavas Aveda, and not for Meis Baila, and not for anything. If you have a simen muvik, echad mini elef, that's good menator. Everybody agrees that's good for Hashavas Aveda, menator, it's good for Meis Baila. But if you have a simen beinani, it's not echad mini elef, but it's not that it's so common. Yesh harbe ka'ela. So that's a shayla in the Gemara, where the simen beinani, the din is, ya machzir ma'veda b'simen beinani. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia has a suffix. Here the Gemara also says, there's a suffix. Mesafkalei, right in the middle of Chav Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says they considered it, the line begins with the word Mesafkalei. They gave him back the Aveda. The Safkalei, where the Simonim is there, I say the Rabbanon. That's a Sufik in the Gemara. Where the Simon Beinani, an intermediate Simon, is not Mina Yelet, but it's not Yesh Harbi Ka'ela. So that's a Shaila, whether such a Simon is good Menatar, it's only good Mina Rabbanon. What's the difference, Halacha Lemaisa, was good Menatar, good Mina Rabbanon? The Gemara says, Nafkamina is, would it be good for Meis Bailo? If it's only good Mina Rabbanon, then Rashi explains over here. Rashi am Chav Zayin am Beis, right in the middle of the daf. Mesafkalei, Rashi divar maschal. Mesafkalei, simonim deraisa derabbanon. If simonim beinanim is only good by Hashavas Aveda, mid derabbanon, then it's only good bedinim amanus, where you're using the mechanism of hefker bezna hefker, Rashi says. You can be mafkir the moment. But by Yisr Heta, by Meis Baile, you can't be Mekel. Enkach b'yad chachamim, lachadov ben ator b'kum b'yaseh. They can't allow an Eish Asish to remarry. If you're going to identify the dead body based on simonim beninim, that's not good enough. You have to have simon mulik. So that's what it says in the Gemara. If simon benini is good ben ator by a Shavus Haveda, then it's good by Meis Baile also. If it's no good by Meis Baile, it means that it's only good by the Rabbanon, by Yashavas Aveda. The Kesef Mishnah and his commentary on the Rambam understood the Rambam to say that by Meis Baile, you need a Simen Muvak, Simen Benini is no good. And nonetheless, he has understood that's in Hilchas Gerushin, where the Rambam has all the din of the Heter Agunis, at the end of Hilchas Gerushin. And then the Rambam and Hilchas Hashavas Aveda, Gzeilav Aveda, so the Kesmishna interprets in the Rambam that Simen Beinani is good ben Atoira by Hashavas Aveda. So that's against the Gemara. If Simen Beinani is good ben Atoira by Hashavas Aveda, so let it be good by Meis Baile also. It's against the Gemara. The Rambam in Eibay, it doesn't make sense. So the Rambam in Eibay, Rabbi Soloveitchik explained his room to defend the Rambam. But it's against the Gemara. Gemara says, if Simon Beinani is good ben Ator by Hashavas Aveda, then it's good by Meis Baile as well. So the Rambam is against the Gemara. How is it possible to explain the Rambam? Shouldn't be a stira in Eibay, that Simon Beinani is good by Hashavas Aveda ben Ator. You don't need to come on to Hefke Bezna Hefke. It's good identification ben Ator. And nonetheless, by Meis Baile, it'll be no good. So that Rav Soloveitchik gave the following. I'll give a hakdamah to what Rav Soloveitchik said. And it'll even you'll understand it even better. So the hakdamah is like this. The Gemara in the end of Bava Kama. There's a mission in the end of Bava Kama. I say, I remember I borrowed $1,000 for you. You come to me, you say, I borrowed $1,000. Milval peh. No one has any shtar. You say, I borrowed $1,000 and I never paid back. I say, yes, I remember I borrowed $1,000, but I seem to remember vaguely, I think maybe I did pay back. I'm not sure. I can't swear to it. I'm not 100% sure, but I remember vaguely, maybe I did pay back. So do you say Hamoitze Mechavera Olav Haraya? It's a sofek. If I say Paraiti, I'm never to say Paraiti. I don't even have to swear. The Rabbanon, there's a Shavuos Heses, but Menator, you don't even have to swear. So if I say Eini Adem Praiticha, maybe I should be Potter. So the Mishnah says that Yechayv. If it's Bori B'Shem, or you are Toivea, the Toivea says Bori. You say you lent me $1,000 and I never paid it back. And I say, Shema, I remember I borrowed the money, but Shema, I think maybe there was a period of time. Maybe I paid back, maybe I didn't, I'm not sure. So the Mishnah says, Beferish, that I have to pay. Why? Because I'm Becheskas Chiyuv. And in Dem Praticha, I admit for sure that I did borrow the money. I don't remember if I paid back. So in Dem Praticha, but since he's Becheskas Chiyuv, he has to pay. But what if he doesn't say, In Dem Praticha? What if you come and you say, I borrowed $1,000 and I never paid back? And I say, I'm not so sure that but we were once talking about me borrowing, possibility of borrowing $1,000. And so many other things happened that day. I don't remember if Lamaisa it ever came to reality. I'm not sure that I borrowed. I said, maybe and maybe no. I'm not sure. So that's a machloikis in the Gemara, machloikis amarayim. Bori v'shemo, lohoitzi. Bori v'shemo, lohoitzi. The Taver says, I remember Bavade, I lent you $1,000, you never paid back. And the Muchzuk says, Shema, maybe I never borrowed the money. I remember we were talking about it, I'm not sure. So we paskan aloha that you don't pay. You're not mechuyev to pay. Bori v'shema, lav bori odif lahoitzi. So the Gemara in Ksubis, in the beginning of the second parak, quotes this machloket, end of Bava Kama, that Mishnah in the end of Bava Kama. Mishnah says, if you have borrowed B'Shem, he says, Eini Adem Praiticha, I remember B'Vadai, I borrowed the money, I don't remember for sure what I paid back. So that's a Mishnah next to the last daf in Bava Kamma, almost next to the last Mishnah in Bava Kamma has that. The Bori Vishem or Bori Odif, Lahoitzi, whenever he's Becheskas Chiyuv. But if he says, any of them, Hil Veisani, so then it's a machloikis, and we pass on Yiron Pei. So the Gemara says in the beginning of the second parak in Ksubis, why do we pass on Yiron Pei? The Gemara said, because I'm Muchzok on the moment, because I'm Muchzok. So we learn that from a pasuk, there's such a concept of muchzok and full ownership. If I own an automobile, so full ownership is shali ubishusi. It belongs to me, shali ubishusi. I have access to it. It's in my rishus. Let's say they stole my automobile. I don't know where it is. So the automobile is still shali, but it's in the bishusi. So that's a machlokes of Yechon and Shlokish. It's machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah. Is something shali ve'ene bishusi, do I have the full bailus on that? So machlokes ve'echem eshlokes, which Tana's opinion to accept? So we pass on like Rabbi Yechanan. Whenever there's a machlokes of Yechanan eshlokes, over the generations, Rabbi Yechanan was the first generation of Amarayim. He got smicha from Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So ruba of the cases we pass on Rabbi Yechanan. There are only three cases where we pass on like eshlokes. One of them is quoted by Tosis a few times here about Kinyan Peres ke Kinyan Aguf Dami or not. Maybe we'll talk about it again. Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf Dami. What's Kinyan Peres? What's an example of Kinyan Peres? I buy a field in Eretz Yisrael is Mancha Yovel Noig. So now we don't have Yovel Noig. In order for Yovel to apply, you have to have Kol Yoshvel Halel. Across from Dor Ba'aretz L'chol Yashvel, thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. That's the pasuk on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. The Liberty Bell was commissioned by the Jewish community of Pennsylvania. They were so excited that there's freedom of religion in America, so they commissioned it to be made. And then it broke on the way from Europe on the boat. And then the 13 colonies adopted it as the symbol of freedom in America. That we have freedom of religion. It's an important thing, freedom of religion. For many years, the Jews lived in countries where they forced them to worship Avodah Zarah. So it was a big chiddush. So that pasuk, thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants, what does that mean? The Gemara has in the end of Erchin that the din of Yovel, the mitzvahs of Yovel, only apply when you have kol yashveh aleh, when you have the overwhelming majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael. So we don't have it bizman hazeh. But bizman sheyovel noyeg, so if whenever I buy karka in Eretz Yisrael, in chutz la'aretz a din doesn't apply. There's no concept of stei achuzah. The Gemara says, karka in chutz la'aretz is like metaltalim, has the same din as metaltalim. So we mentioned that there is an opinion in the Gaonim that ein nishbaim ala karkoes, only applies in karka and Eretz Yisrael. Karka and chutz la'aretz kimetaltalim. The Pashto says that that's a joke. We don't accept that opinion from one of the goyim. We don't say karka and chutz la'aretz like metaltalim. Means when you get to this din, stay achuzan, stay mikna only applies in Eretz Yisrael bizman shayovel noig. So let's say I buy a farm in Eretz Yisrael bizman shayovel noig. Then another couple of years, as soon as Yovel is going to come, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever it is, every 50th year is going to be Yovel. When Yom Kippur Shal Yovel comes, I'm going to have to return the field to its original owner. It'll revert back to become Estei Achuzah. Because when I have it as a din of Estei Mikne, I give it back as Estei Achuzah. So that's called a Kinyan Peres. I only have a Kinyan Lizman. When it comes to Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, it's going to go back to the original owner. So the original owner all along really has the Kinyan Haguf. The one who bought it only has the Kinyan Peres. So that's a machlokes of Yechon Reish Lakish. If I bought a field, I have a stay Mikne. I bought a field in Eretz Yisrael. Am I maybe Bikore? Am I obligated to bring Bikurim and say Arami Rabbi Eretz Yisrael? Could in Arami Abu Rabbi, there's a line that says, Batitan Lono, Batitan. How does it say? Who knows the pasuk? How does it say? The pasuk says, I thank you for giving me the land in Eretz, but I don't have the land. I only have a Kinyan Peres. So do you say, Sir Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, that Kinyan Peres is Kinyan Aguf Dami. It's considered Shalom. And we don't accept Rabbi Yochanan's Vidya. That's one of the three cases, the exceptions to the rule. That we pass on like Rish Lokesh, the Kenyan Paris, is Lavke Kenyan Agufta. I mean, the Gemara in Gittin, at the end of Perak HaShaleach, the Gemara points out that if not for the fact that Rabbi Yochanan holds this Shita, which we don't accept, it would be impossible for anybody to bring Bikurim. Rabbi Yechon, the Gemara's expression is, "Lamotza yoda veraglov." Rabbi Yechon wouldn't be able to maintain his opinion, because Rabbi Yechon says in our Gemara that Yesh Breirim. Rabbi Yechon says, "Achm shechoku alukuchas heim umachzirim zalazeh biyoyvom." So let's say somebody in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, when they divided Eretz Yisrael, somebody got a big farm. Then that person died, and the farm went to his two children. He had two sons. So they divided in half. So if you say Rabbi Yochanan, Achim Shechok, Lukuchasein, Machzir Mzalazeh B'Yovel, so each one of the sons only has a Kenyan Paris. He's not going to keep it forever. When it's going to come, Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, has to give it back to the other brother. So if a Kenyan Paris is Lav Kenyan Aguf Dami, then you can't recite Arami Abidov, Titlonos Eres Avschol Avidvash. You can't say Titlonos. That's what it says. So if you hold Kenya Paris, if you hold like Rish Lakish, Kenya Paris, Lav ki Kenya Aguftami, then you can't say Shenasata Li Hashem. So the only time you can have Mikra Bikurim, if it's Chad Bachad Ad Yeshua Ben Nun. The one who got this karka in the days of Yeshua ben Nun only has one son. And he dies, he only has one son. He dies, he only has one son. I have three sons. What do other people have? Many children. You have many, more than one son. So the only time you're going to have a mikra bikurim is going to be when there's no one to give the field back to when it comes to Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. So you're restricting the din. How can it be? Once in a while you say like that. We have a pasuk in Chumash and it only applies in very rare instances. The pasuk, it forces itself into a corner. It can only apply in a rare case. But the Gemara thinks it's a joke. How can you say the pasuk talks about Bikurim? And all the generations, they brought the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash and they recited Arami Avirabi. You're restricting it only to the case of Chad Bachar Ad Yeshua Ben Nun. Each person only had one son, and then he only had one son, he only had one son. So they're not machzirim, so everybody always has a Kenyan Aguf, doesn't just have a Kenyan Paris. Let's say before Pesach, why do we sell the chametz to the goy and then we buy it back? Why don't we just sell it for the duration of the 8 days of Pesach? Just sell it for Kenyan Azman. The Gemara in Baba Basra talks about such a thing. Kenyan Azman. I sell you the field for the next 10 years, and after that I want the field to belong to someone else. For the next 10 years, and after that, to a different person. So the Gemara talks about such a thing. There's a Kenyan Azman. So why can't I sell the chametz to the goy for the duration of the 8 days of Pesach? So the Mishnah Brura, when he talks about Mechir, the institution of Mechir Chametz, Shulchan Aruch, they don't talk about Mechir Chametz. In the days of the Tanoim, it became an institution in the days of the Ktzos HaChoshen. The late 1700s. The Nesivus is the one who made it acceptable. That's the first tshuva in the collection of the Nesivus' tshuvas. Nachlas Yaakov, it's called. The tshuva is called Nachlas Yaakov. The tshuvas of the Nesivus. So he says he was the one who made it acceptable. But in the days of the Tanaim, the only case you would have in Mechiras Chametz, the Tosefta has a case. A fellow's going on a boat, and he has to take all the coat. They had no kosher caterer on the boat, and he has to take all the food with him. And he has hard bread he's going to eat on the boat. And then he needs the bread. He needs Pas Yisrael. He needs kosher bread. So he can't throw the rest of the bread into the ocean. He has to have bread to eat after Pesach. What he's going to do on Pesach is going to be a problem. He has nothing to eat on Pesach. So he sells the bread to the goy, another goy on the boat, and then he buys it back from him. So that's the original source of Mechiras Chametz and the Tosefta. The fellow sells it to the goy. But the way we have that, all the balabatim go to the rabbi. The rabbi is everybody's shliach. that started in the late 1700s, the Mechiras Chometz. So the Mishnah Brura quotes that discussion from the Ktzos and from the Nesivos and Choshen Mishpat. Why do we sell to the guy? Then we buy it back after Pesach is over. Why don't you just sell it Lizman, and after Pesach it should go back to us? If the guy will eat it up, he'll eat it up, so there won't be anything to go back. And if he didn't eat it up, then it goes back automatically. So he says, no, if you only sell Mechira Lizman, the guy only has a Kinyan Peres. He doesn't have a Kinyan Aguf, and the Kinyan Aguf still belongs to the Jew. So that's not that doesn't take off by you by Matze, since the Jew still owns the Kinyan Aguf. He'll be again in violation of Bal Yirai by Matze. It doesn't help. So that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Yochanan holds Achim Shechalku Lukuchas Heim Kozein Breire Machzirim Zelazeh B'Yoivel. So the one who yarshins a farm, all he has is a Kenyan Paris. He doesn't have a Kenyan Adlof because he's going to have to give it back to the other brother when it comes Yom Kippur Shol Yoivel. So the Gemara says, how does anybody recite Nikra Bikurim? Only very rare cases. Chad b'chad ad Yehoshua ben Nun. Each one who gets the field only has one son, and when he dies, he only has one son. He dies, each one only has one son from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. Very rare. So you're limiting the whole mitzvah bikurim. It's not true. They never did it like that. So the Gemara says the fact that Rabbi Yochanan holds Kinyan Peres is Kikinyan Aguf Dami. The one who has a Kinyan Peres is called a Bailim. So that's why you can say Hashem. So Tosfos asks, but we don't paskan like that. We paskan like Rabbi Yochanan. Ein breire hachm shechol kolukucha same. That's one of the three cases where we paskan like Reish Lakish. That Kinyan Peres has lavke Kinyan aguf dami. So it comes out ech matzini idena v'raglenu. So according to the halacha, how can you recite Arami Aviravi? That's what Tosfos works on that kasha, because the Gemara said the two have to be connected. We don't paskan that they're connected. That's Tosfos' problem. So getting back again. So there's a machlokes amaroyim in the Gemara. What's a din of boyer v'shem? The taver says, "I lent you $1,000; you never paid it back." The other guy says, "I remember we were discussing the possibility of you lending me money. I'm not sure. So many other things happened on that day. I'm not sure if I really borrowed the money or not." So we pask, and you don't have to pay because the din of hamotze mechaber all of haray. Since the fellow is mukhsak, he only has a tain Hashem, I'm not sure that I have the right to hold on to the money. Maybe I did borrow the money, but I'm not sure. So we say, mukhsak, since you're mukhsak on it, let's learn that from a pasuk, akzeres akosu. But whenever the person is not mukhsak on the money, then the din would be that bari b'shema, the bari would be Neman. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua and Ksubis, the beginning of the second parak, is that kasha. If I found that Aveda in the street, so I know for sure it doesn't belong to me. For sure it's not mine, so I'm not Mukhsakan. I'm walking around with the Aveda, but I know it doesn't. I admit that it absolutely does not belong to me. I'm trying to ascertain who it does belong to. So I put up a sign, who lost an attaché case? So the guy comes and he says, oh, I see the attaché case. Yeah, that's mine. I have a tefiah sayin, that's mine. So the din is you only give back the aveda with tefiah sayin if the fellow is a tzur v'midei rabbanon. If he's a talmid chacham, not a stam talmid chacham. The Gemara says in the tzur v'midei rabbanon means a strong talmid chacham. Tzur means like hard rock. Tzur v'midei rabbanon, in this context, doesn't mean he knows how to learn. Tzurim Rabban Dola Mishane Dibura, who never tells a lie, unless it's one of the three cases where the Gemara says it's a mitzvah to tell a lie. The Gemara says Bepurya Biyashpiza, and certain Kibim Mesichta. If they ask you, oh, do you know this Mesichta? So you're allowed to tell a lie and say you don't know. Even though you do know, you're allowed to tell a lie out of humility. Or if they ask you something personal about your wife went to mikvah, it's none of their business. You don't have to tell them the truth. Or Biyashpiza, the Gemara has there three cases where we are permitted to tell a lie. It's a mitzvah to tell a lie. So a person who is a tzur medrabanan doesn't really mean learn. It means he's such an honest individual. He never tells a lie. We know that he never tells a lie. So then you give him back the aveda b'tviyas ayin. But if he's not a tzur medrabanan, then you don't give him back the aveda. So the Bnei Yeshua asks, why not? The one who found the aveda is not muchzak on it. He admits 100% that it does not belong to him. You only call the muhsak if you say it's mine, or you say it may be mine, I may be entitled to it. But if you're vadai not entitled to it, you admit yourself it. The attaché case that you found does not belong to you, so you're not muhsak on the attaché case. And the other fellow says that it belongs to him. So why don't you say that Bori Bisham, I don't know who the right owner is, I don't know who the one was who lost it. So the Moitzi HaVeda has a suffix. He doesn't know who the right owner is, the rightful owner. And the Amhoritz comes, he's not a Tzur Merabban and never tells a lie. He says, that's my Aveda. So it's Bori Vishema, and the one who found the Aveda is not Muchzuk, so it's not Lahotzi Miyara Muchzuk. So why does the Halacha say in Bob Mitzi, you only give back the Aveda B'Tfiya Sayin to a Tzur Merabban and the Lamashani B'Dibur and never tells a lie? You should apply the rule of Bori Vishem and Bori Odev, because no one is Muchzak over here. Here there's a Rashi and Chav Zayinam and Aleph, the Ramask, call Maisa Bezen. Let's say I find a star in the street. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Mishnah in Bob Metzia. I find a star Chayv in the street that says that Reuben owes Shimon $100,000. I don't know, did Reuven borrow the money and he gave the shtar to Shimon and Shimon dropped the Shimon says, I lost the shtar. Give it to me because Reuven owes me $100,000. And Reuven says, no, I never borrowed the money. I wrote the shtar to be prepared in case he'll be kind enough to lend me the money. And he never lent me the money and I lost the shtar. So it's an argument between Reuven and Shimon who lost the shtar. So the Mishnah says, the one who finds the shtar in the street shouldn't give it back to Reuben, shouldn't give it back to either. He doesn't know who's the rightful owner. But what if he finds a shtar halvoa that has a kiyum? Rashi writes, Kol Maisa Bezen, the Rashi right in the middle of Chav Zayinam and Aleph, Kol Maisa Bezen, Amotu shtar mekuyum, the Bezen, and the shtar halvoa has a kiyum on the bottom, that the Bezen signed, this is to ascertain, that we were mekabel edus, and the witnesses whose names appear, they came and they told us that we actually signed the shtar. Or other witnesses came and they told us that that's the authentic signature of the people whose names appears. We made a kiyum hashtar. So if I find the shtar halva on the street that says that Reuben borrowed $100,000 from Shimon, Reuben claims he dropped it, and Shimon claims he dropped it, so I shouldn't give it back to either. Well, what if the shtar halva has a maisa bezna, has a kiyum? So Rashi writes, "Lo yavid lekiyum ishtar, ela malva lacha shenimsa leyodai." That's not normal. That the loiva will write a shtar in advance in order to have the shtar ready to borrow money from the malva. The loiva will write a shtar and it'll go to bezna make a kiyum. The loiva never makes a kiyum on the shtar. After the loiva gives the shtar to the malva, then the malva makes a kiyum. The loiva lekiyum ishtara ela malva. That's not normal. The ruba the loiva is the one who makes a kiyum on shtar is the malva. After the loiva borrows the money and he gives the shtar to the malva goes to bezin to make a kiyum. He should be able to collect. So you give back an aveda based on roiv. If I find an aveda in the street, I don't know who dropped the aveda. So if the Rav indicates that Reuven dropped the Aveda, I give it back to Reuven. We have a rule, Ein Hocha B'Maman Acher HaRav. So how come by El Shavas Aveda Ego Basa Rav? So the Rishonim explain why. Rav is no good Lahotzi Maman from a Muchsuk, because the fellow is Muchsuk on the Maman. So have a Rav that indicates that he owes me money, that's not good enough. Since he's a Muchsuk, he has a right to hold on to the money, maybe the Miut is correct, and maybe the Rav is not correct. But over here, no one is muchzak. I found the Aveda. I know for sure it doesn't belong to me. So Rav is good to be Mevar. Rav is good to be Mevar a Mammon also. Rav is no good to be Motzi Mammon from a muchzak. It's no good. But over here, where the Rav is, that the Shtar was dropped by the Malveh, because it has a Kiyam Ashtar. The Leiva never makes a Kiyam Ashtar. It's not reasonable. Why should the Leiva make a Kiyam Ashtar before he gives it to the Malva? That's what Rashi writes. The Ovid Likiyum Ishtar Ela Mabal Achashinim Saliyadai. So the same thing over here. You don't go Basar Rav Lahotzi Mammon from a Muchzuk. And Bori Vishem Ela Bori Yodif Lahotzi from a Muchzuk. But by El Shabbos Aveda, no one is a Muchzuk. So we should say Bori Vishem or Bori Yodif. So that's the kasha that the Pinyashua asks, based on the explanation given in the Gemara in the beginning of the second parak in Ksubas, that Bori Vishem Alab Bori Yodif Lahoitzi. Why? Because there is a nemonis of a Baldin when he says Bori has nemonis, but that nemonis is not enough to be Moitzi from a Mukhsa. But by El Shabbos Aveda, no one is Mukhsa. So the Moitzi Aveda doesn't know who the owner is. He's Shema. He's holding it, but he's not Mukhsa. And the fellow who comes, even if he's not a tzurvim of the Rabbana, he claims, bevadai, that it's his. So it's bori b'shem and bori yodif, and it's not lahotzi from a mukhsa. So why don't you give back that veda to everybody? That's the Pnei Shuvah's kasha. So there's a sefer that was printed after the Second World War that's called Yoina Selim. Yoina Selim is an expression in Tehillim. The one who wrote the sefer, his name was Yoina Karpelov. He learned by Rav Baruch Ber. Then he learned by Rav Belvala Soloveitchik in Europe. And he wrote most of the shiurim that they have, the Chidush Rav Belvala, most of the shiurim say, Nichtava Yidei Yud Kuf. Most of them were written by Yoina Karpelov. And he used to correspond with his brother. His brother lived in Canada, I think. And then he was killed by the Nazis. He was single. He was killed by the Nazis. Never got married. Never had any children. So the brother wanted to memorialize his brother who was killed. So in addition to all the shiurim from Abelvala Soloveitchik that he wrote up, Nichtavai the Yud Kuf, he put out a sefer Yoina Selim, the muted Yoina, that he was killed now, he can't say any divrei. So he has in his sefer, it's a small pamphlet, soft cover, now they printed hard cover, but it's a small little pamphlet, doesn't have so much Torah. So he has a couple of famous pieces, so this is one of them. He says the Pnei Yeshua is right, Al Pidin, that Hashabbos Aveda, you should really have to give it back to the fellow who claims it's Bori B'Shema. And the reason why you don't give it back is because of Exeris HaKosuf. It says in the Pasuk, if you find an Aveda, Lo Sucha L'Hisalem, you should pick it up and you should hold on to it. Adrosh Achicha Oso. How do you translate that phrase? Adrosh Achicha Oso. Till the rightful owner, I found the attaché case, I found the sweater. So I found it, so I should hold on to the sweater until the rightful owner will come and ask me to give it back to him. I put up a sign, I found the sweater, Adrosh Achicha also, until he asked me for the sweater. So the Torah Shebaal Peh has an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk. We interpret the Pasuk just the reverse, Adrosh Achicha also. When someone comes, I put up the sign, I found the sweater. Who lost the sweater? So the guy comes to me. I have to interrogate him. I have to interrogate him. I shouldn't get back the Aveda. The opposite from the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Every so often you have a pasuk like that, the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Take, for example, it says the Kohanim Duchen. And so on. So it says, Kosvoch is B'nei Yisrael. Amor Lahem, how do you translate Amor Lahem? The Kohanim should recite the following psukim. Yivarechecha Yoyer Yisro. So the Torah Shebaal Peh says that's correct. But there's an additional level of interpretation that it means just the opposite from the Pshuta Shal Mikra. Kosh Vachas Bnei Yisrael, Amar Lohem, when the Bnei Yisrael will request of the Kohanim that they want a bracha, then you will have to give them a bracha. All year long, we don't ask the Kohanim to give us a bracha and a chutz l'art, and so they duchen every day. You're supposed to duchen every day. But in chutz l'art, we have, the Ashkenazim have developed a minig, we're not in such a happy mood. You only give brichas Kohanim and the Kohen is in a good mood. In chutz l'art, everybody's aggravated about their parnasa. Everybody's worried about parnasa. In Eretz Yisrael, nobody makes parnasa anyway, so there's nothing to be aggravated about. But in chutz l'art, people are all aggravated about parnasa, so they're only relaxed on yontif. So they only give the brichas Kohanim on yontif. But we're mevat l'mitzvah, so the answer is the mitzvah only applies amar lahem, when the tzibur requests of the kohanim, amar lahem to the kohanim, not amar lahem, the kohanim should tell the tzibur. That's the pshuto shal mikra. And the Torah shel bal peh has an interpretation just the opposite, and we paskan like the pshuto, and like the drush of the Torah shel bal peh, amar lahem. So the same over here. The pasuk says, when you see an aveda, you should pick it up. L'sucha l'sam, shouldn't make believe as if you didn't see it, and you should hold on to the aveda. Adrosh achicha also. So the pashup shot, adrosh achicha also, till the rightful owner will come and request of you that you should give him the aveda. So the Gemara has an additional, Torah Shabbat has an additional level of interpretation. Adrosh achicha also, you should interrogate the one who comes and claims that he's the rightful owner. You should interrogate him and demand of him he should give a siman. Yikra din and hilchas birurim, he doesn't have to give any siman. He sees it and he gives a tviya sign and he said, that's mine. Give me back my aveda. He's a bori, and the moitz aveda is shema. So bori v'shema, the bori wins because it's not lahotzi from a muchsa. The moitz aveda is not muchsa. He says, bevada, it's not his. So yikra din, the pnei shu is right. In birurim, the fellow comes and says, "That's I have a tefillah sign, give me back my attaché case, give me back my sweater, it should be neman." But it's a gzeres hakasim, darsheyu shelo yehei ramai. So if he's a tzurvim in the rabbanon, the lam mishani dibur, he never tells a lie, then you know he's not a ramai. Then that's darsheyu shelo yehei ramai. So we will yotze that. So the Yonah Selim says, and this is Pshat and the Nesivis. The Nesivis writes the following Chiddush. I'm walking down the street, and I see a sweater there. Somebody dropped a sweater. So I'm about to pick it up. And some guy hangs out a window, and he says, don't touch that sweater, it's mine. He doesn't seem to be a Tzur Hamid Rabban, Lam Mishad B'Diburai. He looks like a hippie. But he says that it's his Aveda. So the Nesiva says, if I picked it up already, if the Moitzi Aveda picked it up already, then he's not allowed to surrender it to this fellow unless he gives Simonim, unless he's a tzur from the Rabban. But Kozman, you didn't pick it up, and he says that it's his. So you don't touch it, you don't take it. Why? So that's what the Yodim Selim says. That din, Toshei Yusha'oyehei Ramai, only sets in once you picked up the Aveda, because when you see the Aveda, that's the Gemara, the first daf in Bob Metzia, the Beis Haman Aleph. Umetzosa, it says in the Chumash, when you see someone else Aveda, Umetzosa, the Asoy Liyodei Mashma. You only called the Metzia Aveda after you picked it up. Kozman, you didn't pick it up. I'm the first one who sees the Aveda, that's not called the Metzia Aveda. When you pick it up, then you call the Metzia Aveda. So this Chayva, this din, Doshei Shaloi Hei Ramai, only sets in if you are the Moitzi Aveda. Kozman, you didn't pick it up. You're not the Moitzi Aveda, so you don't have this obligation, Doshei Shaloi Hei Ramai. Then you follow the rules and regulations of Birurim. And in Birurim, it's a Bori V'Shema, and it's not Lahotzi from a Mukhsuk. So the Bori V'Shema wins, the Bori wins. Yeah. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said to be Miyashiv, the steer in the Rambam. The Rambam is against the Gemara, that is a problem. The Rambam often paskins like Yerushalmi is against Bavli, so maybe had some other source. But there was a stira minei bay in the Rambam. The Rambam, according to the Kesem Mishnah, understood in the Rambam that by meis bailam, to be matam ben aguni needs simonim of hokim, but to get menatoira. And by meishav aveda, it's good menatoira, simon beinani. How can it be? Why is a simon beinani good by a shavas aveda? and by Meis Baile you need need a Simen Muvak. So Rav Soloveitchik thought by Hashavas Aveda, the Rama means if the fellow sees the Aveda, he said, that's mine. He says a Tvia Zayin. So Meikar Adin, the Pnei Yeshua said, Bori Vishem or Bori Yodif. Even a non Tzur from the Rabbana should be believed, because Bori Vishem or Bori Yodif. But there's a Din, Dorshei Yushaloi Hei Ramai. It's a Xeris HaKosuf, despite the fact that Bori Vishem or Bori should win here, because he's not being Moitzi Miyad HaMuchzok. But there's a Xeris HaKosuf, Dorshei Yushaloi Hei Ramai. So if he gives him money betin him, that's enough. That's enough of a Dorshei Yushaloi Hei Ramai. But by Meis Baila, you can't be mata just by Tviya Sain. It's not a shayla of Bori Vishem, it's not a shayla of Dini Mominis. In Dini Mominis, there's a Dinim, the Mominis Badim and Tainosai. He has a Tainas Bori that it's his, and I have a Tainas Shema. I don't have a Tainas Shema, I don't have a Taina at all. By Yashavas Aveda, I have no Taina, I have no claim at all. I'm not at all a Mukhsa. So by Meis Baila, you have to have a real Birur. So if you're relying on the Birur of Simonim, then you need dafke a biru of simen muvik. But by El Shabbos Aveda, the biru should have been good enough to tvi asayin. The only reason why you need any simonim is because of Xeris HaKosuf Doshev Shaloi Hei Ramai. So the Rama thinks that requirement, Doshev Shaloi Hei Ramai, is fulfilled with a simen beinani. That's the Rav Soloveitchik's suggestion to answer this theory of the Rama. He said he didn't answer this theory that the Rama was against the Gemara. That's still a problem. But that being all, the Rambam often will paskin the Bir Agro writes like that. Kedarko, he writes about the Rambam. Kedarko lipsik bekama mekamis kedasa Yerushalmi neged habavli. The Rambam will often paskin like Yerushalmi against Bavli. Rambam quotes a lot of times. The Markevus HaMishnah is a commentary on the Rambam. So the Markevus HaMishnah often, there's a problematic Rambam, so he'll often say the Rambam just quoting the Yerushalmi. A lot of times against the Bavli, even though the Rambam himself quoted the klal from the Rif. The Rif at the end of Erevin postulates a klal that whenever there's a contradiction between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, we paskan like the Bavli because the Yerushalmi was written earlier in Hilchasa Kebasroi. The Chachmei HaBavli knew everything that it says in the Yerushalmi, and if they say Fakert, it means they took that into consideration and they decided against the Yerushalmi. That's why we say Hilchos HaKabasai. So the Rambam quotes that from the Rif. So that's problematic. That's a big problem. How come the Rambam so often paskin like Yerushalmi against Bavli? He himself quotes the Rif's klal that we always paskin like the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. Anyway, but again, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says it depends. If Simonim deraisa, then Simon Beinoni is good by Meis Baila. And if you need dafke simen muvik, then Hashavas Aveda b'simen beinoni is only midirabbanan. Yeah, when you return an Aveda with simonim, let's say you have a few simonim gruim. Let's say the woman says, "My husband was tall and thin, and he wore glasses, and he had a mustache." It doesn't add up to anything, even with all of these. This is sima garua, 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 garua. So the Ramah says if you mitzarf a whole bunch of simonim gruim, it does not add up to anything. But if you mitzarf a few simonim beinanim, that adds up to a simon muvak. That does add up to a simon muvak. Yeah. When you talk about simonim, the simonim dafka have to be on the aveda itself. Let's say the fellow lost a get in a chafisa or a dluskema, the Mishnah Chav Zayin Amud Aleph on the top of the omud. So the last line of the Mishnah, the second and third lines from the top, mitzor b'chafisa or b'dluskema, he lost the get. It was in an attaché case or in a plastic bag or whatever. He doesn't have any simonim on the get. He is a shliach. He doesn't know the name of the husband. He doesn't name of the wife. When he gets to the other city, they're going to tell him on the phone whom to give the get to. But he doesn't really know what it says in the get. So he doesn't have a simon on the get. But he has a simon on the attaché case. He has a simon on the attaché case. So the Mishnah said, that's also good. What's up, Bachatisa Beduluska? In Akiro, if he recognizes the attache case, kosher, the simen on the attache case is considered as if it's a good simen on the get also. The Gemara discusses, what if a woman is married and her husband disappeared, and we don't know where he is, we don't know if he's alive or dead, and then we found a dead body. Nothing unique about his body, 100 people look the same as him. Mustache, everything normal, same as everybody, looks like anybody else. But he was wearing an unusual shirt, and he's the only one. His wife made him a crazy sweater. His wife made him a shirt, a crazy yarmulke, whatever. His wife made him echad mini yelav. Nobody else wears like that. And they found a dead body with that. So the Gemara in the end of Yevamos, where they talk about the heter agunus, the top tesis on Chav Zayin and Aleph talks about this. So the Gemara says there's a discussion whether chashin and l'she'elo. Can you identify the dead body based on the clothing that he was wearing? If you lost a get that was in an attaché case and you give the simonim, imakiro, the luskimo or the chafiso, if you give simonim on the container, that's considered a good simon on the get. But what if you give simonim on the begodim that the person was wearing? Only this man, his wife made him this crazy yarmulke. No one else has such a nutty yarmulke. So is that a good simon for the man? So the Gemara discusses, sometimes people lend their clothing to others. So it depends how common is it, chashin l'sheilo. If his wife made him this crazy yarmulke, so maybe he's not going to lend it out to anybody else. The Gemara discusses whether you say chashin l'sheilo or not. So the Tosfos throws in a line. That whole Gemara in the end of Yevam is that sometimes you can't be mata the aguna based on the clothing that the dead man was wearing, because chashin l'sheilo. So Tosfos said that's only a problem by meis bailo. By Mamaina, by an Aveda, you don't say Chashin l'sheilo. Why not? So the Pasha Pshat in the Taisus, in the back of the Gemara, in the Mefarshim talking about. So the Pasha Pshat is, to be Matam and Aguna, you need a Simen Muvuk. If you say Chashin l'sheilo, it knocks down the level of the Simen Muvuk, because maybe there's a possibility that he lent the shirt to someone else, and the other guy's dead. Maybe it's not the original owner of the shirt. So whenever there's a possibility of a reasonable concern, chashin l'sheilo, it knocks down the level of the simen. Instead of being a simen mubik, it's a simen beinani. Simen beinani is not acceptable, is not sufficient by meis bailo. But by momenis, simen beinani is good. By al shavas aveda, simen beinani is good. Either it's good menator, it's good merabonon. It's good merabonon is based on hefker bezna hefker. Today, let's say a person is a shliach la'ilach, someone's traveling anyway to California, and the husband lives in New York, the wife lives in California. They're separated already a long time, and after a couple of years, they're not going to make up. So the husband writes a get, and someone's going anyway to California. He gives him the get to deliver it to the wife. So the common practice is that we don't give the get to someone. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have any international mail service. So they had to send someone with the get to deliver the get. So that's the whole discussion here on Daf Chazayim. The Shlich Lailacha. Today we don't do like that. We would send the get in the mail. If the get originated in Chutz Laaretz, so the Shlich Lailacha, the Shlich gives the get to the Isha, has to be able to say Bifan Anechta, Bifan Anechta. So if the husband lives in New York and the wife moved to California now, so if you don't have someone who was watching the Ksibis, how can they say, Fananechta, Fananechta? So we say, Shliach Oysa Shliach. We had the dinner ready. If the Shliach La'ilocha doesn't feel well, so he has a right to appoint a Shliach Sheni. So the Shliach Sheni is in a different city. He went half the way. He already traveled from New York to Oklahoma. And then from Oklahoma to the end, it's too hard. He wants to go back to New York. So he appoints a new shliach. The new shliach wasn't there in New York when the Ksivus HaGet took place. So the new shliach is going to go to California, won't be able to say Bifan Erechta or Erechta. So the Gemara says, not a problem. He should say in the presence of a Bezin there in Oklahoma, if there are Jews who live in Oklahoma. Okay. So let him say in the presence of a Bezin, Bifan Erechta, Bifan Erechta. And I appoint the shliach Sheni, shliach Oysa Shliach. Then the Shliach Sheni will travel all the way to California and say, Shliach Beznani. I was appointed a Shliach by the Shliach Rishon with the approval of the Bez, means that the Befanei Nachton was taken care of. So that's the way we do it. So you don't need that the Shliach should travel to Oklahoma and then get stuck. We don't do that. We have in New York, the husband appoints a Shliach to give the get to his wife. The Shliach has no intention at all to go to California. He has no business in California. So he says in front of a Bezna in New York, the same Bezna who wrote it, they took care of the Ksivis Haged. He says, Shliach Bezna, he says, Befanei Nechtam, and I want to appoint the rabbi in California as the Shliach Sheni. And he calls him up on the phone and he tells him, I'm hereby appointing you. I already said Befanei Nechtam in front of the Bezna, and the Bezna approves it. You can make a Shliach Shaloi Befanov. I can appoint someone. I know the name of the rabbi, name of a person, name of a Jewish person who lives in Los Angeles. So I'll appoint him as the Shliach Sheni to deliver the get to the Yishuv. And this will have the approval of the Bezna in New York. So that's what we do. Then we send the get in the mail. So then when the get arrives in California, how do they know that this was the get that was written Lishma? Maybe there was a confusion. Maybe there was a different get that was written in Shema that got lost. And this one was written by somebody else. Very far-fetched. We call them up on the phone, the Beis Din in California. We tell them the name of the husband is this, the name of the wife is this. And it's going to say this city, the husband lives in New York. We give them all the same one. It's very far-fetched. Yechoshish that someone did lahachis. You're not choshish lahachis. Not kosher lachet. Let's say this: I have kosher food cooking on the fire, and then I walk out. Do I have to be kosher? Maybe one of the nochrim poured in some chazer shmaltz lahaches. So Tosfos writes in Maseches Avodah Zarah. It's quoted in the Yerida. You never kosher that the goy is going to do lahaches. Once in a while, they will do lahaches. There were cases in New York that they had a Polish cleaning lady helped out and helped a little bit taking care of the children. Then after a couple of years of helping out in a Jewish family, she went back to her family in Poland. And then she said at the airport, by the way, you should realize all of your pots are treif. I always poured in wine, treif of wine. You had wine in the refrigerator. I know that you don't want Jews, you don't want non-Jews to touch the wine. I poured wine into everything and everything's treif and goodbye. And she goes on. So once in a while you have a meshugana like that. But we're not choshish for that. That the goyim chashudim to do lahakas. We are choshed that the goyim chashudim ala gezel. So they know that kosher food is healthier and tastier than non-kosher food. So they may steal the kosher food and replace it. But we know there were 20 pieces of meat. There were 20 pieces of chicken and the things that we're afraid. Maybe the nochri is choshed ala gezel if it's within the reason, if it's possible. It's going to look totally different, so the Balabasta is going to recognize that it's Gezel. Let's say downstairs there's a Hefka table. So people leave leftover flesh and kosher food there. So some people think that it's a Bosesh and a Salomon Ayin. Bosesh and a Salomon Ayin doesn't apply. Bosesh and a Salomon Ayin, you're not allowed to eat because maybe the birds came and they ate the kosher chicken, and they brought a different piece of chicken. We have no birds flying in the building. We have no animals roaming around. Bosh and Salmon Ayin doesn't apply. The only concern is if there are nochrim achashudim ala gezel, so maybe the nochri will take the kosher food and replace it with non-kosher food. Replace it because he doesn't want to be caught as a ganav, so he'll buy treif for food. He knows kosher food is healthier. So there's a reason that he'll want to steal it. But here they have ketei, but you can take it. You don't have to replace it with another thing. The guards know they have a right to take it. All the guards have a right to take the food from the Hefketet. They don't have to replace it with something else. There's no chashash that they're going to do lahachas. So what's the concern over here? What's the concern over here? The get has the name of the husband, the wife, and the nidhi, the city where they're... So the Gemara says, Hashina l'shnei Shviri. Maybe there's another city that has the same name, Shviri. Maybe in the same city, Shviri, maybe there's another man with the same name. It's a big population. Far-fetched, you're concerned about that. Very far-fetched. Anyway, in the days of the Tanoim, it wasn't so common like today. You go to any airport, There are a million people in the airport. Everyone's gone to a different direction. Everybody's gone somewhere else. Years ago, it wasn't so common that they had people traveling all over the place. A significant percentage of the people who were traveling on highways were people, shluchim, who were delivering it. Today, we don't have that practice. Today, we send a get in the mail. We don't give it to a person. That's a question why we still have that practice, because the Rishonim all quote, the Rosh and the Mordechai, they quote, from the days of the Gaonim, there was a big dispute. The get has to be given, but not on the other. The Baal has to give it. If he puts the get on the table and tells the wife, "Tligitach magabi karka," that's no good. So if the Baal appoints a shliach, and the shliach gives the get to the wife, so that's called Nesinas Abal. Yoda ki yoda, asiyosa kasiyosa. It's considered as if the Baal himself gave the get. So years ago, sometimes men didn't make a living in Europe. It was hard to make a living with Yoshem Shabbos. So the husbands would go to America, then they would make a lot of money. So those who were good husbands would send money to their wives. And those who were miserable husbands, they would send a get to their wives. So that's what they used to have, movies like that and plays like that, that the wife, they deliver a letter from America, and the wife is so excited, the husband probably sent her some money. She opens up the letter, and lo and behold, it's a get. The husband sent her a get. So that's a joke. The goyish mailman who delivers a get, that's not a kosher get. You can't deliver a get. You have to send a get to a shliach in the other city. Like in America, the husband lives in New York, they're separated, the wife lives in California. So the husband has a shliach lo hilocho who says, in New York, b'fana nechtav, and then right away he says, I appoint so-and-so in Los Angeles as a shliach sheni, shliach as a shliach. You can appoint a shliach. The shliach can appoint a shliach shalei b'fon. He knows the name of the person he wants to appoint. And then the other person gets to get in the mail and he delivers it. So some of the goyim are of the opinion that you can't do that system. The get has to be given over a miyodali or the nidisina. So the shliach rishon has to give it over to the shliach sheni, and the shliach sheni gives it over to the isha. You can't have that you send a get from the shliach rishon to the shliach sheni, then the shliach sheni gives it to the woman. The shliach rishon has to give it v'nasan biyodo. The pashto says that it's dead wrong, it doesn't make any sense. But that's what some of the goyim were machmer for that. So that was too difficult over the years. The minig developed that we were mekel on that. We were sending it to the mail. But today, that's what some claim today. You go to any airport, you'll find a religious Jew going anywhere in the world. So why don't we go back to the chumrah of the goyim? The answer is because we hold that we're wrong. The goyim said something that doesn't make any sense. Why does the shliach rishon have to give an osam yodah to the shliach sheni? An osam yodah is a din on the gerishin. When the shliach gives the get to the isha, he needs an osam yodah. Not when the shliach rishon gives it to the shliach sheni. So the Maisa today, it's very, how many people in an airport are taking a get with them? Very few. You have a million people in a big airport in New York City, you have a million people. I don't think you'll find one out of a million that's taking a get. We always send a get in the mail. But apparently in the days of the Tanaim, people didn't travel so much. So there's a concern. There's a much higher percentage of travelers who are traveling just for the purpose of delivering a get. They didn't have an international mail service. So that's why in the days of the Tanaim, the shliach lost the get, and then they find the get, and it has all the exact same names. So today, you find a get with the same names. That's Zimmer Muvak. How can you have another get? But in the days of the Tanaim, that was not a Zimmer Muvak, because it wasn't going to be Echad Mina Yalev. Today it'll be echad mina a million. If a shliach lost a get in the airport, and then he finds a get, of course that's the same get. They're not two shluchim in the airport with a get with the same name. Highly, highly unlikely. One in a million. Anyway, the days of the Gemara, when the shliach lost the get, and he identifies it with simonim uvokim, then you give him back the get. So the Gemara says, why? Because nek of yesh b'tzado is ploini. That's on Chav Zayin on the base. The line begins with the word nek of yesh b'tzado is ploini. The common practice today is that when they send the get in the mail, Shlech Rishon in New York makes the Shlech Sheni in Los Angeles, and then they send it in the mail. And then when they call on the telephone and they tell them what the simonim are of the get, so they make three holes in the get. Instead of in one neket, it's Ados Ploni, they make three nekovim. They say there's a hole on the fifth letter. They say which letter it is. On the third line, on the tenth line, on the twelfth line, whatever. They tell you what. Why did we change it? Why do we need three nekovim? In the days of the Gemara, one neket, it's Ados Ploni wasn't enough. Why do we make more? So I remember my father used to say, because it became such common practice today that we make a nekev when we send it in the mail. So one simon, one nekev perhaps would be simon beinani. We want to make it a simon mubig. In the days of Gemara, it wasn't so common to send a shliach. So he wants to have a simon mubig. So one nekev, but Tzados Ploni would be enough. But today, because it became such a common practice and so many people getting divorced, so we have three nekovim. The Gemara here, Chav Zayin Amanala, going over to Amud Beis, the Gemara quoted a Mishnah from Bava Metzia. I'm walking in the street and I find a get, and it says so-and-so is divorcing his wife. I don't know whether the husband wrote the get and he didn't have a chance to give it to the wife yet, so she's not yet divorced. Husband claims I dropped it and I didn't divorce my wife, and I don't want a divorce. Give me back the get. The woman says he already did give me the get, and I want to hold on to the get as a raya to prove that I'm divorced. So when I want to remarry, I'll be able to prove that I was divorced. So the Mishnah says, if you find a get, motzi get disha bashuk. Zman shabal moed, if the husband admits that he gave the get to his wife, so you give it back to the isha. Ein abal moed, then lo yachsu lo lo zev lo lezev. So you don't give it back to anybody. So the Gemara discusses on the top line on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, Bizman Shabal Moideh Mihos, what does it say in the Mishnah? The husband admits that he gave the get to the wife, Yachzeh Le'isha. So Gemara asks, why? Well, we just said before, what if it took a couple of weeks till he found the get? It took a long time. Maybe it's a different get. Maybe the get that he gave, that was written L'shma, got lost. Someone else said, maybe this is a different get. So what? But if he admits that he divorced her, and the din is the top tesis on Chav Zayin Amud Beis quotes a gemara from Perek Yesh Nochlin, Daf Kuf Lamed Dalet, about to ascertain that a woman is divorced is considered a dovish of the Yerim. To testify that a woman is married, a woman is born, she's single. So someone's going to come and say, no, this girl is an Eshesish. So you have to have two Edim. Eid Echad is only an Amud B'Yisur. Eid Echad is not Neman to say that a woman is an Eishes Ish. And Eid Echad is not Nehmet to say that an Eishes Ish got divorced. That's a double shift. You have to ascertain that a woman whom we thought was single is really married. To say that a married woman is divorced already, you need to wait. What if the husband himself says, Abal Shama Gerashti Es Ishti? The husband says, I divorced my wife. So the din is, the husband is Nehmet. Why? Because Biyodo Legarsha. That's a new Nehmet. It's Biyodo. Since the husband can write a get today and give it to the wife, so he's not meant to say, Gerashti Es Ishti. Yeah, but here the problem is like this. I was walking in the street. Tosis asks, the husband says, I was walking in the street, I found a get. And it says, Reuben divorced his wife, Rachel. So the Gemara says, if the husband admits that he divorced the wife, so fine, so give the get to the Isha. So the Gemara says, but maybe it's the wrong get. Since it took a month, the get was missing from Meek. The Gemara asked the question on the top line, Afilu l'zman merube, but maybe if it took a long time, maybe it's a different get. So what's the tragedy if it's a different get? But the husband is believed to say, Gerashti Es Ishti. So what's the problem? So we really had a Taisus in the beginning of the Masechta about this. Taisus said, even though it's a good birur, the husband is believed to say gerashti sishta because biyodo legarsha, he has the ability to do it right now. Thus the Gemara has a tosefta. The Gemara says a man died and his children are sitting shiva. So I come and I tell the children, a month before your father died, he took me to the backyard and he walked 20 steps this direction and 20 steps that direction. Then he dug a deep hole in the ground and he put in $1 million in your backyard. And that $1 million, he told me, belongs to so-and-so. So the children never heard of this. They don't know anything about it. They go 20 steps here, 20 steps. They dig deep. They find $1 million. They can keep it. They don't have to believe him. I bet if not for him, they wouldn't have known where the money is. They wouldn't have known anything about it. He's an Eid Echad, and an Eid Echad is not believing the Dina Mamadis. You need to wait. But what happens if he says, a month before your father died, he took me to Central Park. In the middle of the night, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, there was nobody there, and he tells him which tree. He dug a hole 100 feet below the ground, and he put in $1 million and said, $1 million belongs to so-and-so. So then the Gemara says, the Eid Echad is believed, because the Eid Echad could have gone to Central Park, he could have dug it up, could have given it to Pleite. He doesn't want to bother. The father said, you tell my children after I die. So he's telling the children. So the Gemara said, the Gemara quotes such a tesefta, whenever it's biyod, the Eid Echad is neman by mamanis. And the whole source, how do you know that Dov Shabieva needs to aid him? It's a gzereshava, dova mi mamin. It says, you divorce your wife, ki motza bo erva's dover. If you ascertain that she's a soita, she was mezana tachas bailo, ki motza bo erva's dover. How do you discover? Dova mi mamin. It says, al pishne edim, al pishlosh edim, yokim dover. The two psukim, one pasuk says, al pishnei edim, al pishlosh edim, yumas hameis. Din in the foshes needs to aid him. Then there's another pasuk near that pasuk, al pishnei edim, al pishlosh edim, yokim dover. Yokim dover goes on mamanus. So you learn Xerishova, ki motzebo erva's dova mi mama. Just like mama needs to aid him, so too dova shebi erva needs to aid him. But just like by mama, whenever it's biyodo, he's neman. So by dova shebi erva also, whenever it's biyodo, he's neman. So the Baal Shama Gerash Teisishti is biyodo the garsha. Just like if I come in the middle of Shiva and I tell the children, your father took me 3 o'clock in the morning to Central Park and he dug a hole and he told me where it is, and he buried $1 million and he said it belongs to so-and-so. So it's biyodi. I couldn't go into their backyard. Their backyard has a fence around it. That's not biyodi, but in Central Park it's biyodi. So Eid Echad is neman by Dovish Abiyarva, and Eid Echad is neman by Mominus also, whenever it's biyodi. So Tosis is bothered with the question. The husband is believed, so what's a big deal, even if it's the wrong get? Even if it's Lisman Meruba, even if it's a different get, but the husband is believed to say Gerashti Sishti. So the Tosfos early in the Masechta said, even so, but if it's not the authentic get, this get was written by a different couple, you shouldn't really allow the woman to remarry based on a Pasul Ashtar. So since if it's really the Zman Merube, so what does it help that the husband says Gerashti Sishti? The husband himself doesn't know that this is the correct get. Maybe there was a mix-up. Maybe it's a different get. Here, Tosfos gives a different answer. Tosfos earlier said like that. You shouldn't do it with the possible get. If it's the wrong get, you shouldn't do it. Here, Tosfos gives a whole answer. The Baal Shammai Gerashti Sishti Neman is only Mikanal Habo, because Biod de Legarsha now. And the get has an earlier date. It says it has a date from a month ago. It doesn't have today's date. And strictly speaking, if the woman produces a get, she can go collect from the lekuchas, those who bought karka from the husband, from the zman hakasuv in the get. And so that's why Tosfos said there's an issue here. The zmanim are not necessarily going to correspond. On the next daf, the Mishnah has a din. A man wrote a get and he gave it to a shliach. And the man is an old man. He's already 75 years old. And the shliach takes forever. They don't arrive in the other place. They don't go by plane. It takes months and months. It may take years till the shliach is going to arrive where the woman is. In icha zaken achayla, the husband was not well, or the husband is already an old man. He's a zaken. So nosala b'cheska shulkaim. We assume the husband is still alive. So the Gemara says, but the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Imeshna sein abayim shivim shana, v'migvur ishmanim shana." So the Tanakh talks about a person. We have dinim based on that pasuk. Imeshna sein abayim shivim shana. Normal is that a person lives to the age of 70. So when a person reaches the age of a little over 35, that's called higil l'roif shnosav. He's halfway through his expectancy of life. So there is a din in the Gemara neither, when the Gemara has all the dinim. How do you ascertain that? A boy or a girl are bar mitzvah, a godl. So the Gemara says you have to have shanim v'simanim. The boy has to be 13, the girl has to be 12, and they have to have shtei sairas, the makam ho'erva. What if they don't bring shtei sairas? So the boy or the girl can remain a kotten until the age of 35. But once they're over 35, hegil l'roif shnosav, then they become bar mitzvah, even though they don't have any shtei sairas. So that pasuk is used by the Gemara Nida to establish dinim. Meishan sein behem shiv mishana, so 35 in a month, is called hegil l'roif shnosav, so he becomes bar mitzvah. So our Gemara uses the second half of the pasuk. V'migvurish moinim shana. The pasuk in Tehillim talks about a person living to the age of 70, 80, doesn't talk about more. So after the age of 80, a person is no longer b'cheskas chai. How long is he no longer b'cheskas chai? So the two lashonis in the Gemara. So the second lashon of the Gemara was, if the husband, the Gemara quoted a brisa, if the husband is 100 years old, the shliach was given the get by the husband who's 100 years old. And he travels weeks and weeks, months and months, till he goes and he finds the wife and he gives her the get. We have the right to assume the husband was still alive, but he's over 100. So the Gemara says, so the first suggestion was, Taka contradicts what the Gemara said before, contradicts what Rabbi said, that after the age of 80, you're no longer b'ches kaschai. Second suggestion was given, Rashi learns, between the age of 80 and 90, you're not b'ches kaschai. But once you pass the age of 90, then it's smooth sailing. Then you are again b'ches kaschai. So the two versions in the Gemara. So Shaila Hadi Paskan La'alacha. Then the Gemara talks about Hinicha Goses. So Goses, Rabbi Kevega tells you, look in the Tosfos in Kiddushin. There's a Tosfos and a Rosh in Kiddushin. So maybe we'll save that for tomorrow. That's an important topic. Goses, definition of Goses, the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis and Perak Aleph and Mishnayis Aholos. The Rambam, the way we have the Hebrew translation of the Pirush HaMishnayis from the Arabic, so they have in the translation, there's Tahalich HaMovis, there's a process of death. The process, the beginning of the process is called the Goses. The end of the process, he's called a mei. So that's a question. When do you declare the moment of death? When is a person considered dead? A big machloikis in our generation. And when is it considered the beginning of the process of death? When is it beginning? When is he called a gosis? And what's the status of a gosis? If the process of death began, you say, since he's in the process of death, Alpidin is not called a bardas because he's half dead. But you say, no. He's a bardas until the moment that he dies. So that'll be kind of discussed tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop here.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Tuesday morning, I'm going to be out of town for a family wedding.